And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome in to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm the Cradle Catholic, Dave Slade.
And I'm the Convert Catholic, Mark Bartholomew.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Good to see you, Mark.
It's
been
too.
It's been a nice week of nice weather for August. It's been this week was the celebration of the Solemnity of the Assumption of Mary into Heaven, body and soul.
Yes.
You know, I was talking
about Holy Day of Obligation.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend last night. He's an evangelical.
Oh.
And we were talking about, as they like to challenge us Catholics, Mary. And I always enjoy trying to share my knowledge,
right,
what little I have,
right,
about Mary. And we got to talking, and I said, you know, we know where the bones of St. Peter are.
Right.
We know where the relics of St. Paul, of all the apostles, there are relics. There are there may actually be pieces of the real cross that are have been going across the country, and you know we're kind of the Catholics especially are into relics.
Right.
There's no relics of the Virgin Mary.
Well, it's hard to find relics when they've risen.
That's right.
And body and soul.
And to me, that really convinces me that that's what it is, because otherwise there would be relics and there would be, you know, people making pilgrimage to see the relics and this type of thing.
Exactly.
And we know that she went to live with St. John the Evangelist, after the resurrection and the ascension.
And I'm quite sure, I mean, I suppose she would have been older than John, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived to be 80-some years old, so we're assuming that she passed some time before he did.
Right.
Even though that's not a fact that's documented anywhere in the Gospels, but it's entirely incomprehensible that her role that she played,
yeah,
that no one would have preserved any relics of her.
Right.
It has to be the fact.
Yep, I agree.
And I mean, when Jesus was transfigured on Mount Tabor, and Peter and James and John were there with him, they saw not only Jesus, but there was Elijah and Moses,
yeah,
right there with him. And we know Elijah was taken up,
mm-hmm,
in his chariot, body and soul, and
yeah,
obviously Moses was. And, you know, today's gospel,
yep,
indicated that, talked about Moses' death and the fact that to this day, no one knows can pinpoint where the grave is, mm-hmm, actually. I mean, we know the region and the location according to the reading, but we know he was transfigured.
Yeah.
And was there with Christ.
Yeah.
So obviously he's risen, body and soul. So how are you going to find that grave?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's one of the tenets of the Catholic Church that I like to try to share, and just to try to get my evangelical friends to you know, just to listen to me and you know, not just say, I just don't believe it because it's a Catholic thing. You know, that happens
sometimes. Well, right,
sometimes.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes. You know, Mark, in the news this week, too, there's been some really tragic stuff going on. This deal in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh, my gosh.
The white racism deal that was going on down there, and the riot and the death. And now they're taking statues down,
yeah,
all over the South, well, all over anywhere where someone finds a statue to be offensive. Most of these that have been on the news have been Confederate generals or Confederate soldiers of some,
yes,
sort or another. That's, they believe, is tied to white supremacy.
Yeah, I don't...
It's hard for me to make that line.
What I mean, Dave, people literally today can find everything objectionable.
Yeah.
And where do you draw the line, guy? I mean, at what point does something historical, I mean, is a Smithsonian going to be demolished and closed at some point because it represents,
yeah,
some type of offense to someone? I mean, we've got just, it's a destruction of art.
Well, it is. And, you know, Mark, President Trump mentioned that what's next, the Washington Monument?
Exactly.
The
exactly.
Jefferson Monument?
Well, Washington and Jefferson both
They were slave
owners. Slave owners. Yeah. I mean, where do you draw the line on these things?
Well, here's an interesting. I've got this article from the Washington Times I want to share with you. And this is from a year or two ago. But St. Louis University has removed a statue depicting a prominent Jesuit missionary praying over two Native Americans following pressure from faculty and staff who complained it represented white supremacy. The statue featured Father Pierre-Jean Demet. He stood in front of Fuse Hall, which is a building down at SLU.
Yeah.
For 60 years, this statue stood, and the students and the faculty believed that this priest praying with his hands raised in prayer over two Native Americans represented white supremacy.
Oh.
So the college buckled and took this statue, and they put it. They didn't destroy it, but they took it and put it in a museum. It says here that in more recent years, there have been some faculty and staff who have raised questions about whether the sculpture is culturally sensitive. Clayton Berry, SLU's assistant vice president for communications, told St. Louis Magazine that hearing that feedback, the decision was made to place this historical context of this statue in a collection on permanent display in the SLU Museum of Art. Well, maybe that's okay, but it stood out where the public could see how the Jesuits brought the faith to the Native Americans and spread westward, and now...
I just, you know, give me a break. I've had my fill of this business of political correctness. We have a right to look at that statue because it represents our faith. And more, Dave, I'm on a soapbox here. I may get it shot out from underneath me, and this could be my last show, folks.
I'll stop you if you get crazy.
Well, I'm already over the limit here. But our higher institutions of learning have created, in my humble opinion, atmospheres for young Catholic students that basically caused them to doubt their faith and their commitment to it all over. And it has to be a detriment. This environment has to be a detriment to the sustenance of our faith, of Catholicism, because the youth are the old fossils that we are of the future sitting in those pews that are there and faithfully practice every single day our faith. And I just, to take down artifacts, statues, which are works of art, folks, and art has been protected for years from destruction. This is just out of control.
Well, I'll just finish on this SLU story. The an op-ed in the St. Louis University newspaper, written by Ryan McKinley, stated that this message to American Indians is simple. You do not belong here if you do not submit to our culture and religion. He wrote, the statue of Desmet depicts the history of colonialism, imperialism, racism, and of Christian and white supremacy. And, you know, that's just a shame. Because what's next, Mark? If somebody's driving by St. Patrick's Church on El Dorado Street and they see that cross on the top of that steeple and they find that offensive, are they going to demand that because it offends them or request that all religious symbols be taken off of buildings?
Well, what about the Star of David?
Yeah.
On a temple. Where does it stop?
Yeah. Well, it's a difficult situation, and it's just hard to get your arms wrapped around it that people are all of a sudden so violently opposed to statues.
Yeah,
and to what they think it represents.
Well,
maybe not what it represents, because the statue at St. Louis University clearly was a priest with his hands raised in blessing. He didn't have the Native Americans bowing down to
right.
him.
Right. Did he have a knife or a gun in his hand or any kind of violent... come on.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get off this or I'm going to have to go take some medication. I'm at my limit.
All right. Well, why don't we do this? We have a guest joining us with this morning.
We do.
Joni Keyes from Special Olympics is
sitting
gonna be
right here.
She's going to talk about the upcoming events, how people can volunteer if you want to donate to Special Olympics, and if you, my friends, have never been to one of the Special Olympic events, you need to go. They're incredible. We'll
yes,
talk
they
about
are.
That when we come back on the other side. This is The Cradle and the Convert with Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy on Decatur Catholic Radio.
Each day, the world is blessed by the heroic dedication of holy Catholic priests serving in our parishes and religious orders, in nursing homes and hospitals, and as military chaplains around the world. Since the secular culture is often quick to criticize Catholic priests, it's so important for us to offer our prayers and gratitude for the countless holy Catholic priests who serve humanity with courageous virtue and dedication to Jesus and the gospel. EncouragePriests.org was launched by the Catholic media apostolate CatholicsComeHome.org during the Year for Priests to support our priests and promote vocations. By visiting EncouragePriests.org, you'll be able to help the priests in your life through spiritual bouquets, written or video greetings, and collar-holler e-cards. Let's pray daily for our seminarians, priests, bishops, and our Holy Father who bring us the sacraments and help guide our path to heaven. Thank you for joining us in this apostolic mission of EncouragePriests.org and CatholicsComeHome.org.
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm sitting here this morning with Mark Barthelemy, and we have a guest in the studio with us. With us today is Joni Keyes from the Special Olympics, Macon County.
Central Region 10.
That's right. Joni, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the Special Olympics, and then let us know what's going on here over the next few weeks with the Olympics.
How you got involved and when and how long. And
okay, happy to do it. Thank you so much for having me on the show
here
today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's our pleasure.
You know, I've been doing this job for a very, very long time, but wow, what a rewarding job it really is to have. I have been in this position for over 20 years now. I think I'm working on about 28 now.
Oh, my.
Nearing 30. I know. Which is going to date me because I did it right after I graduated from college. So I went to Eastern Illinois University, graduated in recreation administration, and also certified to teach K through 9. So I kind of have a dual degree there, I guess you'd say. So I started out with my internship at the Decatur Park District and did multiple jobs there. I was a supervisor of special recreation there. And then in addition to that, did the Special Olympic events. Thank goodness I was young because I was one busy gal there. So, I worked there for about 8 years, and then Special Olympics kind of revolved as an organization statewide and was able to provide all full-time area directors at that time. Before that, they were relying on schools and park districts, staff and teachers to kind of incorporate Special Olympics in with their regular duties, you know, and providing that opportunity to individuals with disabilities in the community. So I took the position with Special Olympics of Illinois and have been in that position now for many years, but enjoyed my time at the Park District, learned a lot, originated with Cheryl Fry and Ken Fry. Well, she wasn't with Ken then.
Right.
But back in the day when she was involved with the Park District and the singers there, the yep. Decatur Park District, they had the choir that sang.
Right.
But anyway, she and I originated Camp I Can. So that's kind of a familiar camp to parents and they have young kids that are involved in the organization there at the Park District, and they're still involved with that camp. That camp is still around these days, Camp I Can. So provides summer opportunities for kids with disabilities. So, but in my position with Special Olympics, allowed me to kind of transition from recreational programming mm-hmm. and sports programming to just sports programming for individuals with disabilities. So, yeah, Special Olympics organization is all about providing sports training and competition for individuals with disabilities year-round. Mm-hmm. So I coordinate many things in my job. It's just not the, you know, everybody says, oh, yeah, I know Special Olympics. It's that track meet you have. We see those flags at Milliken.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that is a big one that we have. One of our biggest and what we call our spring games. But in addition to that, you know, we have just about every sport you can think of, these athletes stay very busy in their training. They go from one sport to another and at times maybe competing and training for two sports at the same time. So we do provide a lot of year-round opportunities for individuals with disabilities. And the individuals come from all different aspects in the community, I guess. You know, many of them live at home still with their parents. We have many age ranges. Beginning 8 years old is when they are eligible mm-hmm. to participate in Special Olympics. On up to, we have 70-year-olds that are still, you know, participating in Special Olympics, doing a walking event or bowling right. or whatever. So, and then we have, you know, we have what we call group homes or SILA homes in the community. And those individuals live there in the group homes. Many of them are what we call guardians of the state. So they may not have family that is living anymore and therefore are in need of constant care and obviously residential opportunity for them to live in the community. So they live in a group home setting. And so we rely on a lot of the staff to kind of help out and get them involved and bring them to their Special Olympic practices. And so we have to train those individuals, you know, on sure. what our rules are for the different sports. And, of course, paperwork comes along with all of that.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
you know, I guess I never thought about that, but the participants do have to train. You know, they've got to hone their skills. And
sure.
I never really thought about that. I always know the games come up and they go out and they participate. But I guess I'd never given much thought to the fact that, just like in any other sport, if you're going to excel in it, you got to practice.
Oh,
and
it's
amazing that I never thought of that. Those kids, the bowling and the golf and all the different events.
Yeah,
I've got a friend named Paul that bowls and golfs, and he loves the Special Olympics. I mean, it's the best time of year when and his mom and dad said, "Now we got to go to Peoria, or now we get to go to Chicago if he competes and succeeds." It's a lot of fun for those kids. My God, and you know, they are the most cheerful bunch of athletes you'll ever see.
Yep,
it's I've been to the Special Olympics a few times and have helped out, and I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing to watch those kids participate in the joy.
It is.
That they bring not only to themselves by participating, but by the people that get to be there and watch and help.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and you know, I invite anybody to come out to a Special Olympic event just to see that pure joy. I mean, I guarantee that you'll walk away and your heart will just be full and you'll be so happy. And just seeing those athletes getting awarded for what they can do and not what they can't do,
right.
where they face challenges every day. And it makes it hard for them to kind of hold their head high and put a smile on their face when they struggle either physically
sure.
or just to do the everyday things that you and I take for granted. So yeah. The awards is definitely a highlight of our events.
I can testify to that. It's probably been, I've been retired 11 years, almost 12. So it's had to have been close to 10 anyway. But I was out there in my former life and career and got the pleasure of the starting gun, firing it, and watching them compete on the track at Milliken. And then afterwards, the awards. And that was, you're right, Joni, you just can't walk away without feeling great.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of keeps me going every day. You know, I can remember a time when it was raining and it was one of my first events and everything was kind of going a little array and I was trying to figure out what to do, you know, and could we move it in somewhere? We got to make this happen for him. And I was all flustered and you know, I'm like, I was getting down on myself. And one of the athletes walked up and put their arms around me and said, "Joni, I'm having the best day of my life," with a big smile. And I looked at one of the volunteers next to me and I said, "You know what? Right there. That's why I do it. And this is why we're going to make it happen.
We're
today.
Running in the rain."
That's right.
Yep. That's right.
So,
they prepped too long to call it off.
Yeah. So definitely they look forward to the opportunity to be able to, compete and, Special Olympics as an organization is a wonderful opportunity for them as athletes. I mean, they are true athletes. to train and then to get the gold medal and then to advance on. You know, you talked about going to Peoria and that there are levels of advancement. So within our organization, you know, we pride ourselves in the fact that we follow a lot of the rules that there are in ISHA and any governing sporting organization. We follow those rules. We kind of adapt them a bit to, you know, the needs of our individuals, but really providing them the opportunity to compete on different levels and division them according to their skill levels. And so a lot of thought goes into that when those scores come in, and we look at those and we division them so that they have the best opportunity as athletes to compete against other individuals of the same skill level. So, yeah, there's the local level that they compete at. They get that gold medal in their division at the local level, and then many times the sport will advance on then to a district or a sectional opportunity, which allows them to be able to travel outside of the community. And then they would advance on from there to a state level competition. So, and then of course you hear about, you know, the World Games and the national games that we host too and have. So Special Olympics is an international organization. So there is opportunities then to advance on from a state level on into a national games level or a world games level. So, our organization really prides ourselves in being able to provide our athletes with that opportunity. So
I actually have a niece, sort of, it's a complicated situation, but she lives in Rome and she competes over there in or Viterbo, not Rome, actually it's Viterbo, but she competes every year, and her mom is always posting pictures on Facebook, you know, so I can see them and get them, and she'll forward them to me. She's got all kinds of medals. I mean, that's her whole focus is the athleticism and competition and everything else.
Good
She's
for
a
her.
sweetheart.
Let me remind everybody that we're listening to The Cradle and the Convert here on WDCR, and we're talking to Joni Keyes this morning about Special Olympics.
We are.
There's some opportunities this week for people that would like to help out with the Special Olympics to get involved. And also, the Knights of Columbus is also a big supporter of the Special Olympics. They're going to be doing the lunches this afternoon, putting those together that will be used for the bowling that's coming up this weekend. If you'd like to come down to the KC Hall this afternoon around probably 11 o'clock, I'd say Gary and the crew will be down there putting these bagged lunches together. And there, you can also donate to Special Olympics. And we're going to find out here in a second how we can how we can donate to support Special Olympics. And we're going to take a quick break and come back on the other side, and we'll have Joni tell us about how to help Special Olympics with our pocketbooks.
All righty then.
Cradle and the Convert will be right back.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. You may be Catholic today merely because your family is Irish or Italian or from the Philippines. Going to Mass is what you do because your family has always done it. But being a member of the body of Christ is so much more than a cultural or ethnic identity. Being a son or daughter of the King of the Universe is so much more than something you do. It is who you are, and it goes to the deepest level of your identity and your reason for existing. God wants to draw us into His family to change our lives forever, but He also wants us to be willing members of that family. And so we have to give Him permission. God has no grandchildren. Own your relationship with God and His church.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
All right, we're back here on The Cradle and the Convert with Joni Keyes from the Special Olympics here in Decatur, Macon County area. And we were going to discuss how you as listeners can be involved in the Special Olympics, either donating financially or maybe you'd like to come out and volunteer.
That's right.
Joni, how can our listeners get involved with you in the Special Olympics?
Well, we have several events that I mentioned year-round. So obviously a big part of making those successful is volunteers. So that is a good way to get involved with our organization. And we have our bowling competition coming up this Saturday, as we were talking about, and still looking for some lane assistance for that. And also our state golf and softball that we're having in September, be the 9th and the 10th, I believe, are the dates. And that's at Hickory Point Golf Course and Rotary. And so to volunteer for those, they can call me at 428-9255. Or you can just get on our website at www.soill.org and look up Area 10. And you can volunteer right online there for those events. The bowling is Area 10 Bowling is what you'll look up. And for the other event in September, that is called the Outdoor Sports Festival that we're hosting here in Decatur. So definitely looking for some volunteers for that. You can email me as well. My email is jkeyes, K-E-Y-E-S, at soill.org. So, yeah, welcome that. Volunteers.
What about age groups, Joni, for the volunteers? Is there age limitations?
Not really an age limitation. I mean, we'd like to have, you know, middle school up typically is, you know, works out pretty well. Although, you know, call us. There's several different things that happen during our events. So we can possibly fit you in if you've got a younger child or sibling that you'd like to bring with you. You know, maybe you can help serve some lunches or help with the wards, that kind of thing. But, you know, there's a variety of job duties that happen at each one of these events, you know, whether it be like for bowling, a lane assistant, a scorekeeper, passing out awards, helping with souvenirs, helping check families in, helping check coaches in. You know, if we're doing a track event, it's timing, it's measuring, it's maybe a ball shagger, you know, whatever. So an escort, you know, just to escort the athletes from maybe an awards area to a different area, you know. So a lot happens at our events that we need to utilize volunteers for. So just give me a call if you're interested, and we'll get you set up or get on our website, and we have all the job duties listed there. They can do that.
Great.
Obviously, money's a huge...
And how do they donate?
Yeah, definitely welcome any...